Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this day, Lord, and for the blessings from heaven you continue to bestow down upon us. Lord, we are thankful for this evening's opportunity, Lord, for Brother Leonard to declare unto us the gospel. Pray, Lord, that in his message he is able to convey those Bible truths that are necessary for those listening to understand what thy good and perfect will is, but also what is required of them to be saved. Lord, we are thankful that you are still searching for true worshipers. Thank you, Lord, for having Brother Leonard be our speaker this evening and to place him in the path of those who are seeking your truth. We pray, Lord, that their heart is fertile to receive the seed he will plant this evening. Pray, Lord, if it is within your permissive will, to bless us with the increase. Bless this ministry, Lord. Bless that we can continue to grow and spread your gospel across the entire world. Heavenly Father, we ask this prayer in your son's Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flanier. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of Nationwide Gospel Meeting Call, and we're very thankful to have each and every person on the call tonight. We're very thankful, especially for those who are not members of the Church of Christ. You've been invited by your friends, family, or loved one to hear this basic truths that we'll teach from the Bible. Tonight, we ask you to encourage you, rather, to take your Bible and open it up and take notepad, write down those things as pertain to your soul salvation. Tonight, our speaker and the person of Brother Roger Leonard, and Brother Leonard will bring us a message tonight. Brother Leonard currently serves as the evangelist for the Adel Church of Christ. He's in Adel, Georgia. And so he's attended the Nashville School of Preaching, currently instructor for Georgia School of Preaching and the Jamaica School of Preaching. We're so thankful to have him on our call tonight. Brother Leonard will come to us, and he will speak regarding and pertaining to the topic we've given him tonight. What does the Bible say about baptism saving us? At this time, will you welcome Brother Roger Leonard, Laydale, Georgia. Brother Leonard.
What a topic and what an excellent theme for us to be studying tonight. One of the most controversial subjects that comes up at times when we talk about salvation and Christianity is the subject of baptism. You have one group of people who would say that baptism does not save us, that it's not necessary for salvation. Then you'll have another group of people who will say, well, yes, it is necessary for salvation. Well, the question is, what does the Bible say about it? And we begin with the word baptize. And it's a Greek word that it's an anglicized Greek word, baptizo in Greek, so it sounds very much like baptism. And it means to dip or to immerse or to cleanse or purify by washing or to administer baptism. So let's talk about baptism tonight and what role it plays in salvation. Does baptism play a role in salvation? In Mark chapter 1 and verse 4, we see that John the Baptist, or John the Immerser, literally, was immersing, baptizing, believing Jews with a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Now, John's role in his work as a preacher was to introduce people to Jesus or Jesus to the people. He was the forerunner of Christ. And once John began to fade out of the picture, Jesus began to develop his disciples from those who had followed John. And so Jesus' disciples did the same thing that John did. They were out preaching baptism for remission of sins, and they were immersing people in water. And John's message was for those who would believe in Jesus as one who would come as the Messiah. And we learn about that in the Gospels and in Acts chapter 19 and verse 4. Now, John's baptism was limited to a certain people, a certain group of people for a certain period of time. It was a limited baptism. But there are other baptisms that you read about in the New Testament. For example, we mentioned John's baptism, that it was a baptism with water. In Luke chapter 3 at verse 16, we see that there was a baptism of the Holy Spirit that John mentioned in that same chapter, Luke chapter 3 and verse 16. And, of course, this was to be done by Jesus, and it occurred on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 when the apostles were baptized by the Holy Spirit, and they spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, and they preached the first gospel sermon after Jesus had gone back to heaven. In that same chapter, John mentions a baptism of fire. That's Luke 3:16, which according to verse 17 of Luke 3 was unquenchable. That's hell. Nobody wants the baptism of fire, but it's an immersion of fire. It's a figure. And then there's a baptism of suffering that the Lord Jesus went through. And then we come to the baptism we want to talk about tonight, the baptism of the Great Commission. When John was baptizing and Jesus' disciples were baptizing, and you know, Jesus died, was buried, was resurrected. Then he spent about 40 days with his apostles before he went back to heaven. And he gave them what we call the Great Commission. That's recorded in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, and it's recorded in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 19, and also in the Gospel of Luke. But the baptism of the Great Commission is mentioned in Mark's account and in Matthew's account. When Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples," or teach "all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." A part of the Great Commission was to preach the gospel. That's Mark 16 and verse 15. "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." But those who heard the gospel were expected to be baptized. Jesus would say, Mark 16:16, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned." Now, we mentioned these other baptisms that are in the gospel accounts and are mentioned. And yet, when you read Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5, there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. The question is, what is that one baptism? And what role does it play in our salvation? Is it a part of God saving man, or is it unnecessary, as some people would say that it is? Let's talk about some things that the New Testament says that save us. Baptism is mentioned in 1 Peter 3:21 as being a part of our salvation. But you know, we cannot talk about the things that we do in response to the gospel until we talk about what God has done. Salvation is from God. And we know John 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So the love of God saves us. "For God so loved that he gave." It plays a role in our salvation. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, Christ saves. Jesus saves. He's the one born of the Virgin Mary. He will save his people from their sins. We also hear the words of John one day when he saw Jesus out walking. John chapter 1, verse 29, he told the people, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." It's important for us in this lesson to connect some things. Connect salvation with forgiveness of sins, remission of sins, forgiveness, And these things, and redemption, all these things that are in Christ. You know, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19:10. So Jesus saves. We read in Titus chapter 3 and verse 4 that a part of the saving part of God is the kindness of God. We read in Titus 3 and verse 5 that a part of God saving us is his mercy. So God loves, God has kindness, he's had mercy. But ultimately it took the blood of Jesus to pay the price for sin. When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper in Matthew 26 and verse 28, he says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." I would ask you to hold on to that phrase, "for the remission of sins," connected to the blood of Jesus. And also in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, "He loved us and he has loosed us," or washed us, "from our sins in his own blood." Precious people, without the love of God, without the Savior, without the kindness and the mercy of God and the blood of Christ and his death, Romans 5 and verse 10, and his resurrection, you read that in Romans 5 and verse 10 also. Without that, we wouldn't have the possibility of being forgiven of our sins. It took the love of God and an act of mercy on his part to take care of our sin problem, and an act of love on Christ's part to die for our sins. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3. What else saves us? The gospel of Christ. In Romans 1 and verse 16, Paul would say, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So we have the gospel being a part of God saving man. Man is saved by the grace of God. That's Romans 2 and verse 8. But we're saved by grace through faith. Grace is God's part. Faith is our part. Do you remember again what Jesus said in Mark 16 and verses 15 and 16? Let's go over it again. "Go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned." Grace is God's part. Mercy, love, all that is God's part. Faith is on our part. Therefore, we're saved by grace through faith, and so we're saved by faith. We must believe the gospel. We must believe it to the point that we want to respond to the gospel. We're also saved by repentance. Jesus would say in his ministry in Luke 13, 3, "Unless we repent, we will perish." He repeats that in verse 5. Repentance was preached on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 in verse 38. Repentance was preached by Peter in Acts 3 in verse 19. Repentance was preached by Paul in Acts chapter 17 in verse 30, that God commands all men everywhere to repent. We know what faith is. Faith is believing, right? Well, what is repentance? Well, repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of action in one's life. Confession plays a part in our salvation. That's in Romans 10, 9, and 10. Paul was writing to the Jews, and their primary problem was that they didn't believe Jesus was the Christ, and certainly that he came back from the dead. Well, listen, if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you can be saved. But with the heart man believes, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So confession is part of it. But also, so is baptism. And that's what we want to talk about tonight. Jesus said, "I want you to note these scriptures and pretend like you've never heard anybody talk about baptism before." Jesus said in Mark 16, 16, "He who believes," that is the gospel, "and is baptized will be saved." Now, that's a very simple statement. He believes and is baptized will be saved. And so he didn't say he who is saved will be baptized later, but he who believes and is baptized will be saved. The order that Jesus gave was faith or believing the gospel and being baptized in order to be saved. Now, a lot of people struggle with that because they say, well, baptism is a work. Well, we'll come around to that in a few minutes. You might just want to write that down if you're taking any notes. Is baptism a work? And if so, is it necessary? Is it a work that earns our salvation? What is it? We also see in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, Peter says that baptism also now saves us. Mark those two verses. Mark 16:16, 1 Peter 3:21. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Peter says, baptism also now saves us. Now, in a moment or two, we will break that verse down in 1 Peter 3:21, but just make a note of it at this point. Now, some people say, well, that's just the Church of Christ teaching, baptism is. And people have different viewpoints on baptism and what it's for and what it means. And it's true that people have different viewpoints, but baptism is not a church ordinance in the sense that the church came up with it. It's not a teaching of men, but rather it is a teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a command of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at the first gospel sermon that was preached by Peter and the 11 in Acts chapter 2. I'm going to give a quick overview of Acts 2. These people had gathered in Jerusalem, these Jews from all over the world, and it was a prime time that God had planned for the gospel to be preached the first time after Jesus went back to heaven. At this point in Acts 2, Jesus is in heaven. These apostles have been left with a commission, preach the gospel. In Luke's account, he tells them to preach beginning in Jerusalem, preach repentance and remission of sins beginning in Jerusalem. If you want to make a note of that, notice that we see in verse 47 of Luke chapter 24 that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name, that is Christ, to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. So here we are at Jerusalem. Now, we need more time to break into Acts chapter 2, but I'm going to sum it up very quickly. These people have heard the gospel preached. They've been convinced that they killed Jesus, and they made a grave error in doing that. So they ask a question in the verse 37 of Acts 2, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Now, there are preachers today that say, well, you don't have to do anything. Obviously, you already believe what we preached. Obviously, you're confessing that Jesus is the Christ. You don't really have to do anything. But that's not what the Apostle Peter said. We need to believe the Bible. Peter said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, two things were required, repentance and baptism. Both of those were required for the remission of sins. Now, obviously, they already believed. Obviously, they had implied a confession, but they had to repent. They got to change and be baptized. Now, interestingly, this word will come up for the remission of sins in discussions about baptism. And it's interesting, the word is E-I-S in Greek. You maybe pronounce it ace, pronounce it ice, either way. The word is translated as for. That word, E-I-S, for, is found in the New Testament 1,493 times. Nearly 1,500 times. It can mean into. It can mean to, it can mean in, it can mean for, it can mean on, etc. But it is never translated because of. There are some people say, well, you're baptized because you've already been forgiven. No, that's not what the word means. It is never translated that way in the New Testament. but it means in order too. Now, let's go back to an illustration I gave a few minutes ago when we were in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28, where Jesus was introducing the Lord's Supper. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Now, Jesus hasn't died when he said that. He's going to, but it's in order to, or into, the remission of sins. What was? His blood was shed for the remission of sins. And it's the same phrase that Peter used in Acts 2 and verse 38. So those people on Pentecost needed forgiveness. Some translations say for the forgiveness of sins, others for the remission. Forgiveness. They needed forgiveness. Somebody says, "Well, I still don't know about that preacher that, you know, well, baptism is a work." Well, let's look at another passage. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13 with me. Colossians 2, verses 11 through 13. If you don't have time to look it up, write it down, and let's listen to these words from Paul. "In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ." Now, Paul's using a figure here. Circumcision by the Jews was a physical thing. This is a spiritual circumcision. And what is this spiritual circumcision? Notice verse 12 of Colossians 2. "Buried with him in baptism, in which also you were raised with him," watch this, "through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." Now, if there's any work involved in baptism, it's on God's part. Baptism is a faith response to what God did for us through Christ. It's a spiritual circumcision. It's by, you put off the body of the flesh, obviously, that's repentance. And then also, you're buried with him in baptism. What for? Peter said for the remission of sins, or for the forgiveness of sins. Our part is, it's a faith in the working of God. Yeah, and that's the same thing Paul was teaching in Romans 10, 9, and 10. If those Jews could believe that God had raised Jesus from the dead, they could be saved, if they would confess it. Now, there are several things that save us, and we noted some of those. And yes, confession is one. Faith is one. But so is baptism. And that's where we go to 1 Peter chapter 3. If you would, write down 1 Peter 3, 18 through 21. 1 Peter 3, 18 through 21. We cannot get away from the idea that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He did. He paid the price for it. It was his blood that was shed to pay the price for sins. And he suffered. So Peter says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might do what? Bring us to God. Being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." That's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Now, I'm not going to deal with these aspects of him going to the spirits in prison and preaching. That's not the point of our lesson tonight. But I'll read all this together. "By whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared." Now, we know about Noah and the ark and his wife and his three sons and their wives. Eight people were in the ark. And we see that that in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. Now, Peter says this. The Old King James Version says the like figure. The New King James Version says this. There is also an antitype. Quickly, quickly. a type is like Moses was a type of Christ. This ark was a type of the church. This water was a type of baptism. The antitype in Scripture is always greater than the type. For example, Jesus was greater than Moses. The salvation of our souls is greater than those people that were saved on the ark. But listen to what, this is what the Word of God says. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. Does baptism save? Peter says that it does. My dear friend, do you believe what the Bible says or not? Forget about what other people are saying. The Bible says that baptism saves. Now, it's not a removal of the filth of the flesh. It's not taking a bath. But it's the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want you to notice here, Peter says, baptism saves us. It's not that going down into water is not cleansing your flesh, but it is an act that gives an answer of a good conscience toward God. There's an implication here by Peter about this good conscience. If baptism is for the forgiveness or the remission of sins, as Acts 2:38 says that it was, then when a person comes up out of the watery grave of baptism, forgiven, what about their conscience? Well, it's been cleansed. You're not guilty anymore of your past sins. You're born again of the water and the Spirit, like Jesus told Nicodemus. So the good conscience toward God. Now, Paul has already noted that this is not a work. It's the working of God. You know, baptism is a passive thing. Somebody baptized me. I have baptized others. We don't baptize ourselves. It's a passive thing, a response to God. Now, when you look at a couple of other passages here, I want you to put these down because of our time tonight, but look at Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 29. We see that there was an angel of the Lord who spoke to the man Philip, and he was going down the road to Gaza, and he was reading from Isaiah the prophet, and he wanted to know, well, who's the man talking about, him, himself or somebody else? And beginning with that scripture, he preached Jesus to him, and he explains Isaiah 53. Well, they got to a certain point, and the eunuch said, hey, what hinders me from being baptized? There's nothing here that says that Philip preached baptism, but we know that he did because the eunuch asked about it. What hinders me? And Philip said, well, if you believe with all your heart, you may. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And when he came up out of that water, he went on his way rejoicing. Why? Because he'd been forgiven. He had a clean conscience. His sins had been washed away by the blood of Jesus when he went down in the watery grave of baptism. Now, who is baptism for? It's for lost people. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, Mark 16 and verse 16. Baptism is for taught people. Go and teach all nations, Matthew 28:19. It is for believing people, Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. It is for penitent people, Acts 2 and verse 38. Repent and be baptized. It's for people like the eunuch who has confessed that Christ is the Son of God. And it is for mature individuals. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 12, we find that when Philip had been down in Samaria preaching, and we see that when they heard him preaching about the kingdom of God, men and women were baptized. Baptism is for believers. It's not for babies. Babies have no sin. It's for adults. It is how a person gets into Christ. Notice with me Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I want you to read this carefully. Write this down and read it carefully with me. And walk through these verses with me. Notice everything I've given you tonight is from the Bible. My opinion is not here, but God's Word. Galatians 3:26 through 29. For all of you are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Faith in Christ Jesus, yes. But listen to it. How did they become sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus? For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 at verse 10 that salvation is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. How does one get into Christ? They're baptized into Christ. Baptism is for the remission of sins. And when a person is baptized, you go and read Acts chapter 2. Please read it all. Walk through it. And those people heard Peter and the other apostles preaching, and 3,000 people were baptized that day, and they were added by the Lord. You know what they were added to? Look at verse 47. The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. What did those people do in order for the Lord to add them to the church? They had to hear the gospel. They had to believe it. They had to confess Christ. They had to repent. And they had to be baptized for the remission of sins. And the Lord added these cleansed people to his pure church. And they became members of the New Testament church. The purpose of this lesson tonight is not about the church, but we read about the one body in Ephesians chapter 4. We read about the one Lord, the one faith. Somebody says, what faith are you, Mr. Leonard? There's only one faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, verse 17. Now, let's talk about baptism. It's for the remission of sins. It is part of our salvation. Peter said so. The antitype also now saves you, namely baptism. Does baptism save us alone? No. Faith alone doesn't save. Confession alone doesn't save. Repentance alone does not save. None of these things alone do. And we can't be saved just because Jesus died unless we respond to what he says, to obey the gospel. And I'm thinking tonight as we know what Jesus did for us, we should never, ever present or discuss baptism or faith or repentance without a weighty, grateful appreciation for Christ coming and dying for us. Because if he hadn't died, we wouldn't have any hope. We couldn't be saved. But baptism does save. The Bible says that it does. In Acts chapter 22, a man by the name of Ananias was preaching to Saul of Tarsus. And you know, if you know Saul's background, he hated Christians. He arrested them. He was there when Stephen died. He did horrible things. But once he realized that the Lord wanted to forgive him, Ananias said to him in Acts 22 and verse 16, "And now arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." But he asked him a question. Why are you waiting, Saul? It's time to arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Baptism is part of calling on the name of the Lord. Now, Saul could not arise and be baptized and wash away his sins if Jesus hadn't died. But he can't have his sins washed away without baptism. That's a very important thing. You know, if a person says that they're saved and baptized later, then they're saved without having their sins washed away. We have to read the Bible for what it says. And I'm thinking about you tonight if you're listening to this. This is a brief lesson, and there's so many other things that we could say, but Don't listen to the words of men. Open your Bible and let God speak. Study these verses. Look them up. Study this for yourself and let God speak. Men will say things that are not in agreement with God. You know, if you're listening tonight and you're not a Christian and you want to become a Christian, you can contact one of these brothers through this program. They would be happy, happy to help you to know more if you have questions. Maybe you're listening, you're a member of the Lord's church, and you haven't been faithful. You were baptized correctly at one point, but you've wandered off into false doctrine, or you've wandered off into a life of sin and rebellion against God. There's always that great second law of pardon, like the prodigal who came home in Luke 15, and the Lord God the Father ran out to meet him and was so happy to have him home. If there's any way that through this program, through the information that's provided here, that we can help you, please contact, study, and let God speak.
Thank you, Brother Roger. We are very grateful tonight for you accepting our invitation, and you've done exactly what we wanted you to do. To those who are on the call tonight that are not members of the Church of Christ, you now understand baptism saves us. It's no doubt in my mind that the Bible is clear. Jesus was clear. Brother Roger was clear tonight that one must be baptized in order to be saved. Thank you, Brother Roger. We appreciate you so very much. If you're on the call tonight and you want to be baptized, email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And we will make the arrangements for you to be baptized, or perhaps you want further studies. Just go ahead and email us, and we will make the arrangement no matter where you are in the United States or where you are in the listening audience. We will set that Bible class up for you, as we've done with many recently in other states, just in San Diego. You're just baptizing people. They get learning, and they're teaching others, and they're sharing with others. And we're baptizing people all over this nation. And so tonight, we pray you've listened carefully. You've listened with a heart to receive with meekness God's engrafted word, for it's able to save your soul. You got to be baptized. You got to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. In baptism, God does his part in baptism. Then he adds you to that one true church, which is the Church of Christ. And so we want you to be a member of the Church of Christ. We believe in the Church of Christ that the Bible has the final answer. What does the Bible say? We've talked about that tonight, about baptism. Baptism, the Bible says, baptism saves. It doesn't matter what men say. The Bible says, baptism saves. That comes from Jesus the Christ, who gave the command, and the one you believe in as the Son of God. Listen to him tonight. Let us pray to God. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings of life. Thank you for this night you've given us. Thank you for Brother Roger Leonard. Thank you for the message that he brought us from your word, and that he didn't add to it or take from it, but he simply taught us that baptism saves us. Father, we pray for our listening audience, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ, that they'll be baptized, for it's eternally too late. And we know people are dying every day. And you have said through your word, if a man dies in his sin, he cannot go to heaven. Pray for our listening audience tonight, that they don't take this lightly, that they will obey it before it's eternally too late to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. We pray for our brothers and sisters of Christ across the nation who may have strayed away, that they too will come back home before it's everlasting, eternally too late. Thank you, Father, for loving us. We thank your Son for giving his life, shedding that blood on the cross, suffering for 6 long hours on the cross of Calvary. It was him who said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And we lift him up tonight on the cross, that he has the truth. He's told us what to do. Now we pray for our visitors, friends, and loved ones, and brothers and sisters in Christ. Let us not forget. Help us not to forget, Father, that it was your Son who suffered 6 long hours on the cross to give us this hope of eternal life. And you gave us the book, the words that we can read and develop a faith because we read it in the book called the Bible. What does the Bible say about baptism? It says that it saves. Thank you, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would like to listen to this message again tonight, or any of the messages we've had all the month of May, go to our website, HowlandHeightsCoc.net. That's Howland Heights, COC.net, and there you find all of our flyers. All of the messages are there recorded. You can download them and listen to them again for yourself. We're making it very accessible for you. We hope you'll take advantage of it. Go back and listen to our calls and continue to join us. Continue to join us. We speak the truth in love. We're only trying to teach what the Bible says without addition or subtraction. So we ask you, please continue to join us each night. Tomorrow night, Brother C.E. Shaw from Sherman, Texas. He's going to talk about the doom of the unbelievers. Oh, that's a sad day. The doom of the unbelievers. Join us tomorrow night from 9 to 9:30 p.m. Thank you for allowing us to come into your home for 30 minutes in the comfort of your home. Non-intrusive allows you to just hear a simple message from God, by God's man, the gospel preacher. We love you and we thank you for joining us tonight. It is my prayer that you have a peaceful night's rest. If you're not saved, it's hard to rest in peace. Think about it. Be saved so that when you lay your head on the pillow tonight, it can be peaceful. It can be a peaceful night's rest. Because if one died in their sin, there's no way they can sleep peacefully, knowing that they can lose their soul. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, host minister of Nationwide Gospel Meeting Call. May God bless you. It's my prayer. Good night.